Christmas
and a Happy New Year. WVOX Worldwide.
The voice of Westchester. 1460 WVOX.
Welcome to Brand Talk, the only show on radio where branding gets personal and practical here on WVOX Radio 1460 on your AM dial. My name is Dr. John Tantillo, and we're here to talk about brands, your personal brand, your career brand, and even your business brand. Folks, for those of you joining us for the first time, this show is about transitions and how the science and psychology of branding can help change your relationships for the better, your career or business for the better, your life for the better, so that you can become the brand you are truly meant to be. And this is a call-in show, and it's your show where we want to hear from you. So if you have a brand question, are you in a brand transition? Are you concerned about your brand or someone else's brand? Give us a call here at Brand Talk at 914-636-0110, 914-636-0110, or give us an email at doc@brandtalkradio.com. That's doc@brandtalkradio.com. And before I get into my weekly opener, I just would like to say I had a great time with my guest last week, TJ McCormick, in on the festivities. Of those of you who did not hear the show, you can take a look or take a listen, actually, at our website, which is brandtalkradio.com. And what's great about that website, if I can toot my horn, or our horn, Brand Talk's horn, you can listen to any of the shows that we've done here at WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. And after you've, what's really great is that after you have seen a show and you have a question, you'll be able to email me about anything that came to mind, or you might have a brand question about your personally or about your business. I'm going to talk a little bit about that today, about people's business brands, and doc@brandtalkradio.com. That's doc@brandtalkradio.com. And if you'd like to give us a call today, we're at 914-636-0110. And today's opener is Stay in Your Lane. We should all listen to Oprah. And why I came to this is that I was watching Rosie O'Donnell last week, and I really, really think she's a great talent. And she's just wonderful. It's just she connects with people, she relates to people, is funny because she brings to the party just who she is, warts and all. And it's very endearing to see a personality like that. And because she is brand, she's herself. However, you know, a great brand, you know, you can always get better. You can always become even a better brand. You can always become better at responding to the needs of your customers. And if you don't, that's becomes brand decline. And anyway, if I were her manager or brand consultant, I would strongly urge her to stop being so serious sometimes. And I would just say, be yourself, as be your entertaining self. Don't be your preachy self, because it's not your brand. You are an entertainer, and people don't really, when they're listening to you, Rosie, they really don't want to hear about the problems of the world. They want to escape from the problems of the world. And entertainers don't sometimes like to understand that. But if you're a great brand, and maybe that's what separates entertainers or great entertainers from great marketers and great professionals. And maybe the distinction is between artists and entertainers. Maybe it's that. Well, and I'll make I'll talk more about that in just a second. But what you might be saying, well, what are you talking about, John? What do you mean she's too serious? Well, she connected with the audience, and then she was so good, and then she had to bring up the despicable Penn State scandal. And I said, why is she doing that? I don't want to hear about that. What I want to hear is I want to be entertained. John Tantillo wants to be entertained. If I want to hear about the Penn State scandal, I wouldn't be putting on the Rosie O'Donnell show. I would be listening to Hard News. And anyway, it just bothered me that this is what she was doing, and that entertainers have to understand that what people want from them is what they do best for them. And I guess it's a generational thing, because Johnny Carson, I saw an interview about, and I don't remember who it was that was talking about Johnny Carson. And this interviewer asked Johnny Carson, well, what do you do? I mean, you went on after President Kennedy. You did the show after President Kennedy had been assassinated. How did you do it? And Johnny Carson simply said, well, the show has to go on. And that his audience needed to be entertained. And that's what he did, entertained. And for that hour, people forgot about that terrible day in November that I remember oh so well, when I was 12 years old and had just come out of the bazaar at St. Matthias School, and my assignment was to go to the fourth grade and tell the nun, Sister Mariella, I believe it was, Morella, that the president had been shot. So really, really moving. And the point I'm making is that Oprah's got it right. Stay in your lane. Do what you want. And if you're an entertainer, that's what you should be, an entertainer. And if you want to be an artist, well, you might have to pay the consequences of being an artist. And I always tell my friends in show business that it's not called show art. It's called show business. And you only have a business if you keep your target market. And so if I were advising Rosie O'Donnell, like I said, Rosie, if you're listening, I love you dearly. I think you're a tremendous brand. You're a great talent. But remember that your target market wants to be entertained, and that's what you do so well. And so just as the kids like to say, just do it. So that's my I guess a lesson that we can all learn. And I mean, I think we've seen this. The one that I have to say, though, a brand, but that has really done it well, a comedian that has really done it well, but that's now his brand, is Bill Maher. I mean, he does a whole show where he makes people uncomfortable. And, I mean, but that's why you go and watch the show. That's his brand. The problem with his brand is that he's basically only getting probably a third of an audience, because two-thirds aren't going to agree with him, and it's simply not going to watch or listen to what he has to say, or going to be turned off of what he's got to say. But anyway, political comedy is a very, very difficult group or practice or tactic or media to crack. But how do you feel about it? It's not only how I feel about it. How do you feel about it? Why don't you give us a call at 914-636-0110, 914-636-0110, or if you like to email us, we're at doc@brandtalkradio.com. I am manning the email request line here at doc@brandtalkradio.com. I have my iPad here and would love to hear from you. So anyway, I hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I did. Thanksgiving brings so many great memories for me of being at my maternal grandparents, my mother's grandparents, and I talked about Patsy and the character that he was, and my great, my wonderful great grandmother Mary, who used to make. The Thanksgiving meal was where Italian American is the originator of Italian American food, because what you would start with is this antipasta, and then after the antipasta you would have soup, and then after the soup you would have pasta. And then after the pasta, you would have meatballs and sausage and pork. And then after that, you would get to the turkey. And you would have potatoes. And you would have the turkey. And you would have all of the vegetables. And you would have potatoes. And then after that, you would have, you would wait a little bit, and you would have some fruit, and then, of course, you would have the cakes, and then after the cakes, you would have the coffee, and then before you know it, around 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, I should say that, it was more like 8 o'clock, you would have to have sandwiches. Because you really didn't eat enough for the first 8 hours of the day, and throw in there you have some Jell-O, the Italian flag Jell-O that my grandmother would make with a little bit of cream cheese thrown in the middle of it. It was just wonderful, and all the conversations of the characters of the characters of the time. It was just wonderful. And so I didn't have anything like that on my Thanksgiving, but what I did have is I was with a dear friend of mine, a priest friend of mine, and his family, Ken Grandy, and we went to this wonderful restaurant, and it was called De Stefano's, and the owner and his wife had this special. It was just a wonderful, wonderful place in Brooklyn. And so it was a great brand, and I love Thanksgiving, and I was so glad I was able to do that. And maybe you have something to say here on Brand Talk, which is 1460 on your AM dial. It's WVOX Radio. And if you like to share some of your brand days, 914-636-0110, 914-636-0110. And, you know, Christmas is going to be coming up, and one of my, it's very interesting how the holidays are, you know, we have Thanksgiving and we have Christmas, and it all coincides with the last quarter and some of the pagan feasts. And if you ever catch the origin of Christmas and how it really got started, there, I believe every year on the History Channel, there is the History of Christmas. I recommend you go and take a look at it. You can really, really learn a lot. And it tells you about the history of Christmas and something that I know all so well, you know, Santa Claus and how Santa became fat. And I have a lot to say about that. And I think in the next few weeks, we'll talk a little bit about the Fat Santa brand and why I think it may need some altering. But I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to save that. But if you Google me, you'll see my some of my radio interviews about Fat Santa and how much heat and trouble I got into there. And this is Brand Talk with Dr. John Tantillo at WVOX Radio 1460 AM. If you'd like to give us a call, we're at 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. Yeah, I have a lot to, I got so many items that I like just to go over with you, in addition to our Did You Know That? And, of course, our Winner and Loser of the Week, and things like Miley Cyrus and Ashton Kutcher, and even the Macy's Day Parade, which I believe is a great brand. And but you might have something to say as well. But as they used to like to say in comedy land, moving right along, what I would like to now do is talk about our Winner and Loser of the Week. And, folks, each week I choose two brands that I believe have either exceeded or failed in basic brand fundamentals so that you can implement the takeaways into your own brand life. So without any further ado, let's go to our brand winner and loser of the week. And I think the brand winner, and I'm sure I'm going to get some reaction from this, either on air or off air, and that's Tiger Woods. Yes, you didn't Tiger Woods. If you don't follow golf, and I follow golf only because of Tiger Woods. I'm one of those guys because I think he's such a interesting brand, and because he was so controversial from the get go. I mean, he was winning all those games when matches or tournaments, I should say, when he was young, and so there was a lot of publicity then. And then when he had this this series of girlfriends or mistresses that came up, that was just not very positive for him, but it looks like that his brand is on his way up. And if you haven't followed golf, he came in third place, which in the Australian Open. And if you, like I said, if you're not if you don't follow golf, that's not pretty good. That's better than darn good. That's excellent. And, you know, golf, you know, they say that baseball is a game of inches. Well, if baseball is that, golf is a strokes by inches or missing the hole by inches. And anyway, so he won. And as a result of this, he he got a big endorsement deal with Rolex, another great brand. And, you know, you're probably saying to me, well, John, how the heck could you say that this guy is a brand winner? Look how many people that he lost to that are turned off by him. And I would turn it all around and say, I don't think he's lost that many people. I think what he did is he solidified who his target market was, which are males between the ages of 24 to 44. And, you know, that's it. You know, he wasn't warm and fuzzy. He wasn't attracting kids. Women were neutral to him. So maybe what happened is he turned off the female market, and as indeed he should by that kind of behavior. But that's not his target market. And if we know anything about branding, we know it's all about your customers. And it's good to say it's I think appropriate to talk about when you talk about when you talk about your target market. There are your customers, and there are your fans, and you really don't give a darn about the general public because the general public, if they're not, don't fall into those two categories of being your fans or your customers being the people that, in fact, will purchase the products you endorse, who gives a darn? And I've talked about this a number of times. I think we should change the field from public relations to targeted relations. And if you have a feeling about Tiger Woods or what I'm saying here, why don't you give us a call at 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110, or email me at doc@brandtalkradio.com. So anyway, I just think that this fellow Tiger Woods is someone that you should be keeping an eye on, because I think he's on his way back, and but I could be wrong. I don't think so, but I could be. And we'll see. But let it be known that I'm on the record for saying that I think he's on his way back. So for me, Tiger Woods is our brand winner. And who's our loser? Oh. I you know what I like to do? I like to, the expression is stir the pot. And I don't always like to you know, go with the crowd. I always like to get people thinking. And my position on this next topic, which is related to my brand winner, I'd be very interested to get your feedback and see if you agree. I always get a reaction from this, what I'm about to talk about, and here it is. Our brand loser this week is Hyundai. And the reason I think that they're a loser is they're thinking about advertising on the Super Bowl. And if you're not aware of my position on Super Bowl advertising, is that it is a complete waste of money. I mean, advertising agencies, and for Hyundai to do this is a complete waste of their advertising dollars, and as far as I'm concerned. And not only that, the topic of the ad or the theme of the ad is even more ridiculous, and that is that they're going to talk about their employees. Who gives a darn about Hyundai's employees? This is marketing and branding 101. It's about your customers. This is nonsense. And I mean, folks, I am a little tired of advertising agencies. Okay, and let the record show this. of them being more concerned about winning awards than worrying about what their potential clients, or the clients of their clients, okay, the customers that they're trying to sell, okay, or market these products to, are not in fact connecting in terms of benefits. You list features, you sell benefits. What are benefits? What is it going to do for me? What is a Hyundai going to do for me? Okay? Number one, it's great value. Number two, they don't look too bad anymore. Number three, great performance. We'll talk about that. Who cares whether or not you're, then this is more of a public relations thing for themselves. But don't call it marketing. Don't call it branding. And for God's sake, don't call it advertising. Well, you can call it advertising, but it's bad advertising. And it gives, you know, men and women in my business a black eye. And I don't know. So anyway, so my point that I'd like to get into, why I do feel Super Bowl advertising is a waste of time, is that it violates the law of frequency. What is the law of frequency? Well, you're going to have to just come back after the break to find out why I'm so enraged about Super Bowl advertising. See you in a few.
National news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX.
Fox News Radio. I'm Lisa Lucera. President Obama says the nation would face what he calls a massive blow if Congress doesn't extend the payroll tax cut.
If Congress doesn't act to extend this tax cut, then most of you, the typical middle-class family, is going to see your taxes go up by $1,000 at the worst possible time.
The president speaking in Scranton, Pennsylvania, and pushing Republicans to pass it.
One of them said just 2 years ago that this kind of tax cut would boost job creation, and now that I'm proposing it, he said we should let it expire.
The Maryland man held in Aruba in connection with the disappearance of a woman set free.
Gary Giordano has landed in Miami after taking the first plane back to the U.S. from Aruba, now that prosecutors on the island have exhausted their ability to hold him on suspicions he was involved in the disappearance of Robin Gardner.
Fox Radio's Evan Brown, Fox News. We report, you decide.
Now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Forecast Westchester County in the vicinity for this afternoon, a mixture of clouds and sunshine. Highs will climb into the middle 50s with gusty westerly wind. Partly cloudy this evening, overnight lows falling back into the middle 30s, mostly sunny. Highs will climb close to 50 on Thursday, continued clear at night, lows dropping into the middle 30s, mostly sunny once again on Friday, lower 50s. Looks good for Saturday, bright sunny skies, but cooler weather, middle 40s, more the same for Sunday. I'm Steve Pelletieri, Jr., reporting for WVUX Worldwide, WVIP HD.
Whether you've been naughty or nice,
you naughty, naughty little girl,
you're still loved by Santa Claus and WVOX Worldwide.
1460 WVOX.
Back, you're listening to Brand Talk on WVOX Radio 1460 on your AM dial. My name is Dr. John Tantillo, and I'm here to listen to you and to listen to your calls. So if you have something about the Super Bowl, your brand, somebody else's brand, or anything else that I've talked about, how about Tiger Woods? Call us at 914-636-0110, 914-636-0110. Or what about the email, doc@brandtalkradio.com. That's doc@brandtalkradio.com, 914-636-0110. So this law of frequency, what am I talking about? You know, as my friends used to say in Brooklyn. Well, it goes like this. Well, let me just say, all the advertising agents, they're comical, these guys and gals. Their whole basis over the years, or all during, throughout the year, is that you have to do a large media buy so that the ad will sink in so that people respond. And they have, I believe they have the data. I know they have the data. When they want to push a media buy, that a media buy, an ad must be aired, whether on TV or radio, at least 10 times for you to see a significant increase in sales. However, at the Super Bowl, something magical happens. You only have to see the ad once, and you're magically, it's like the invasion of the zombies or the body snatchers. Everyone that sees this ad on Super Bowl Sunday, even though they've had a few beers, they are having the time of their life, but somehow or another, they are going to magically go and purchase these products. So I don't get it. It's you know, it's the Wizard of Oz effect, the magic of advertising. I don't understand it. Okay, so what you got to do is you got to. This ad on the Super Bowl has to be seen at least 10 times for there to be a significant using their model. Now, if you have an exceptional ad, and if you're lucky, maybe one ad, not because you've added 10 times over the Super Bowl, but because the media has picked it up. By the way, that's what I call advertising, which is when you take an ad and the media buy is modest or doesn't exist, but the media publicizes it and you see it more than you would have seen if it was ad. Well, maybe, you know, but that's hit and miss. And in advertising, I should say in marketing, you can't take those kinds of risks. So if I were advising clients, and this is what happened in the dot-com land, dot-com time, you found a lot of dot-comers would go on the Super Bowl, and a lot of them are not around anymore. So to make a long story short, what I'm basically saying, the number of eyeballs that watches an event doesn't a sale make. It has to be that, the number of eyeballs plus the frequency that a sale will make. And that's why I'm so down on Super Bowl advertising. Now, if you want to talk about it from a public relations perspective, where you can give free tickets to your distributors, maybe enhance your, your reputation, that's another story, but that's a heck of an expensive way of letting people know how wonderful you are. So there you have it. And so I think Hyundai is a loser for, number one, their decision on the Super Bowl, deciding to make a Super Bowl media buy, and secondly, the content of the ad of focusing on their employees as opposed to focusing on benefits. And I know what it is. I've been in those corporate boardrooms. They want something different. Okay? And the problem is, it's like it's the law of Shakespeare. You know? After you see, there are, what, 135 different plots, and it's they're all taken up by Shakespeare's plays. And after that, what other story can you tell? I mean, that's it. And that's why I guess benefits and features is the way to go. Because if you're doing your marketing the right way, how do you get somebody to like you or to respond to you? You tell them what they want to hear, or that's going to be attracted to them. And that's the way advertising should be done. At least that's the way I feel it should be done. And how do you feel? You know, this is Brand Talk, where we talk about things like that, where we discuss things like that, where branding gets practical. Not theoretical, but practical. Here on WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. And if you have, if you want to disagree with me, let's disagree with me. But I think I got a point here. About number one, it's about customers. And number two, you got to see an ad a number of times before it sinks in. 914-636-0110. 914-636-0110 is the number. And the email address is doc@brandtalkradio.com. And here's a good one. And my creative friends over in the on the advertising agencies are going to really love this one. And that is Tantillo's Law. Okay, I shouldn't say it this way because it makes me look like I'm in love with myself. My mother would give me a crack if she heard me saying this. Okay, so I'm going to say one of the laws. I'll change it. But one of the laws in of advertising is, I find, the more creative the ad, the more people like the ad, the less likely they're going to remember who's advertising. So they remember the punchline. They remember everything about the ad, but the brand name. This is ridiculous. This is nuts. I can't get over it. So what happens is the art director gets an award. Everyone feels terrific at the advertising, but the poor client is out. And anyway, so just remember that. So, and think about this yourself. Think about the ads that you like and whether or not you can remember the name. 914-636-0110. Brand Talk, Tantillo, WVOX, 1460 AM on your AM dial. I'd love to hear from you. So, anyway, and what's the takeaway from all of this? The test of great marketing is not that it feels good. So, and believe me, that can really, really happen. Especially, it's called groupthink, where everybody gets together and thinks that we're so smart, and then the marketplace doesn't, in fact, the target market doesn't respond to what, in fact, has gone on. It happens all the time. Here and on Brand Talk, and that's why we love it so much. So anyway, well, now it's time for that my favorite, hopefully your favorite, the Did You Know That? And that's where little-known facts are brought center stage for your delight, amazement, and dare I say, your continuing education. And now, Did You Know That?
This is Dr. John Tantillo asking, Did you know that? Have you ever discovered a homemade remedy that worked like nothing else? Well, in 1890, Lunsford Richardson began to build a global empire around just such a mixture. You see, Lunsford Richardson had just taken over his brother-in-law's pharmacy in Greensboro, North Carolina. In addition to a thriving business, he acquired almost two dozen family formulas. the concoctions contain the usual suspects of the 19th century pharmacopoeia: castor oil, liniment, and something called dead shot vermifuge. Whew! What a mouthful. A year later, Lunsford had added an exotic new ingredient from Asia. It was called menthol. Soon his croup and pneumonia remedy was flying off the shelves. He renamed the products in honor of his brother-in-law, who had a much catchier name. But it was only after Lunsford's son, Smith, returned from marketing jobs in New York that things really took off. Smith advised his dad to reduce the product line to a single item, the popular croup and pneumonia remedy. Then he made the branding leap that changed everything. At the time, it was common to use the word magic in pharmaceutical names. Lunsford had called the remedy the magic croup salve. His son altered it to vapor rub, and soon the product was soothing symptoms around the world. Today, Procter & Gamble owns and markets the product as the only thing more powerful than a mother's touch. But it was the right focus that made Vicks a household name. And now you can say, yes, I know that.
We're back. You're listening to WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. My name is Dr. John Tantillo. And before I talk a little bit about the lesson learned here, we have a caller. And what's your name, what's your brand, and where are you from?
Hi, my name is Vince.
Vince, and, how are you, Vince?
Pretty good, and I'm from New Rochelle. And,
yes, Vince.
And this may sound funny, but I think my brand is a very common brand. I'm called a citizen.
And okay.
I think the brand name of Citizen is a very honorable brand. It carries with it all kinds of meanings for the public.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just like to suggest that some of us focus mostly on branding for the commercial, the business aspect, but brand for like political party brand. What does the name Democratic Party mean to you, or Republican Party?
Mm-hmm.
They carry certain meanings when you identify them, just like as you're talking about with Vicks Vapor Rub.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I just wonder if many people in the community look at how branding names, not only the name, but the reputation carried with the name become so respected.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I remember my grandfather, who had a tailor shop in East Harlem for God knows how long. His name became synonymous with respectable kind of treatment of customers,
mm-hmm.
good service at good price.
Right.
And he put a suit on every Catholic kid, cop and fireman, and the entire community of Harlem for years and made money.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering whether, you know, as part of your discussion, you might touch on the aspect of how a brand gets the goodwill and reputation of the public.
Well, you know, you're speaking my language. First of all, the first way you do that, Vince, and I think your question is right on, and I like to respond in a number of different ways, but the first way, as I am sure your grandfather was a very sincere guy, that this was not packaged. This was something that came from inside, and based on inside, he built a brand around it. And that's why I like to talk about not makeovers, but brandovers. And brandovers start from the inside, who it is that you are. I am a tailor. Okay, you're a tailor,
but I care. I give good customer service. Now you're beginning to build on that Taylor brand. And not only that, I want my customers to come back because I care about them. And it becomes almost like an onion that all of these features and what I then call benefits build on each other so that you become the brand that you are, or you know, that you try to be. And, you know, a lot can be said for these old timers that just knew instinctively what to do without a guy like me trying to tell them what to do. They knew in their hearts what to do. And that's the best kind of marketing to do. Not that you can't, in fact, do some tweaking, and that's where professionals come in, and you need them from time to time. But for the most part, you have to be the brand that you are, not some package commodity that some slick Madison Avenue guy has made you. And unfortunately, that's the perception of marketing. But I like to call that phony marketing as opposed to real marketing and real branding. Did I answer that your question?
Yes, you did. And I think the last comment you made really touches a whole other area of, phony versus real. And that's one of our dilemmas. You know, how do
Absolutely.
We know as a customer whether, you know, like when you see these ads like you've been talking about, or even with politicians, unfortunately, whether you're being hyped or you're really being sincerely given a product or something that you can believe in.
Right. Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. And let me also tell you, Vince, the problem with using brands in the political arena is that I've tried to do that, and in my book I've done that. The problem is that it's when you talk about politics, and this is why I try to stay away from it, because people do not listen to what you're saying from the marketing perspective. It becomes like a Rorschach test,
right,
in which they respond to their belief system and will not, in fact, understand the branding and marketing point that you want to make. And as a result, I have pushed that aside, not because I don't think it, I think you're right onto something. I'm just telling you some of the limitations of what goes on when you start to use this concept of political brands, which I've been on Monica Crowley's show, I've been on Alan Combs' show, I've been on Cavuto's show talking about political brands, and it always gets dicey because people, you know, it's funny because you can come off and say, well, Tantillo's a lefty, and then, you know, a week later, Tantillo's a righty, or Tantillo, and what happens is that you lose what I'm trying to communicate, which you helped me do, Vince, by you bringing up this concept of your grandfather and his brand.
Well, I tell you, it's a pleasure speaking with you, and I really enjoyed your show today.
Well, thanks, Vince.
Okay,
thank
bye.
You so much. That was Vince, and we'd love to hear from you here on Brand Talk, 1460 on your AM dial. We're at 914-636-0110, 914-636-0110. That was, what a nice call that was. That's great to hear. Sometimes you say to yourself, am I getting through? Are people really listening? And that really makes me very, very, very happy. So thank you, Vince. I was talking about idea what was I talking about? I just lost my spot, but I wanted to get back to did you know that? I wanted to mention that the takeaway there, and the takeaway was that his son, Richardson's son, who was a marketing person, okay, from New York, went back and said, "Hey, Dad, you got too many products. You got to pick one. Well, and I think what we're going to do is we're going to pick this Saab that is going to change the way people, in fact, treat their colds. This VapoRub, and it was that kind of astute idea and that realization that made the difference here in terms of Vips Evix being a household name. And it's just really something quite amazing. And I like to bring up Richardson did that with his family business, and then General Motors, back in the 50s, their strategy was that we could make a car for you wherever you were in life. So you started out with a Chevrolet. You then went to the Oldsmobile. Then you went to the Pontiac. Then you went to the Oldsmobile. And then from the Oldsmobile, you went to the Buick. And eventually, you went to the Cadillac. And then what happened even before the crisis of 2008 and around the beginning of the 2000s, probably the late 1990s, they did a whole different strategy where they were thinking about doing a Richardson, of combining their portfolio of products or models. And so depending on what your strategy is, if you're a small, the lesson for the small business owner here is that I think, you know, what you want to do is take one product and promote the heck out of it, right? But what do you think? 914-636-0110, doc@brandtalkradio.com, VOX, 1460 on your AM dial. This is Dr. John Tantillo, and this is Brand Talk. And we love to hear from you. So I really love that story of Vicks, and being that it is the cold season, and I love Vicks VapoRub, and anytime I get to have a little bit of the sniffles, I put some VapoRub on my on the old chest, and the next morning I feel 100% better. So let's move along, and as I mentioned to you earlier, that for small, I wanted to get a little bit into the small business arena. And I was talking to my producer, Jonathan, about this the other night, and which is how difficult it is, and this may sound counterintuitive, but to help successful small businesses get to the next level. And I basically mentioned, we had this discussion the other night, that that a brand or a small business that has a modicum of success will have difficulty becoming an overwhelming success because of a very basic human phenomenon, which is the law of effect. And in psychology, the law of effect is that once a behavior has in fact been reinforced, it's very, very hard to get rid of that behavior. So what does that mean? If you have a small business owner that's got his business to $10 million through simply sales, for you to give him an idea of a marketing strategy, or that now it's time to move to a marketing strategy, the first thing out of his mouth is, how do you know this? Or what do you know about my business? There is the defensive maneuver. And you really, it's very, very hard to deal with that. And I've seen it time and time again. It's much easier to help a business in transition or a business that's first starting out and work with the company and get them to where they want to be than to get somebody who has had this success that think they know everything and very, very difficult to really deal with that kind of a business owner. And I think the best way of and I deal with this all the time, believe me, folks. And that's what we like to talk about here on Brand Talk on 1460 AM on your AM dial with Dr. John Tantillo. And that is the difference between sales and marketing. And when you first start a business, it's basically sales driven. It's not marketing driven, because really marketing is simply sales with a college education. And what you want to eventually do there is that and marketing involves strategy. And in the beginning, when you start a business, it's all about making customers, no matter how you do it, and paying the rent. You know, if you're a business that's just starting out, you now know you're ahead of the game. And if you're a business that's been around for a while, you got to consider the marketing concept. Wow. Another hour, another day. Brand Talk. See you next week.